Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Data is collected everywhere, but how is it being structured, organized, and analyzed for real-world applications? The 2018 Symposium on Data Harnessing at the University of South Dakota explores opportunities for better analysis, modeling, and prediction using artificial intelligence, machine learning, and supercomputing. Dr. Thomas Tiart is symposium co-chair and Poet Professor of Business Analytics at USD's Beacom School of Business, and he joins us for a preview of this year's symposium. He's in SDPB's Vermilion Studios. Dr. Tiart, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your program, Lori.
How fast is this field changing at this point?
It seems to be changing on a daily basis. There is such a flood of data. IBM estimates that we produce over 1.5 quintillion bytes of data every day. And that data is being used in ways that we could not have foreseen 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, because we have so much more ability to store that data and to process that data with computational technology. So it's changing very rapidly.
So often on this program, we're really thinking about, the ethics of data privacy and things like that. And this is one of those areas where it's time to think about the vast potential for good and some of the things that perhaps we have not thought of before of how this data could be harnessed. Not that there isn't also a dark side, but it seems like there's a lot of optimism in this field in the sense that if so much exists, that means so much could be done with it that we have not yet explored.
Yes, there certainly is a downside, but that's true of all technology. And so we do want to keep that in mind, but we have so much potential here. And in the case of our symposium on data harnessing, we're going to have people that are actually using this to solve very interesting problems, problems in the fields of healthcare, space travel, and ethanol production. So all things that I think will be interesting to our students and the others that will be attending our symposium.
Give me an idea of where, when we talk about the flood of data and sort of more daily, where's it coming from? Is it intentional data collection? Is it, where's the flood flowing from?
Well, a great deal of the data that we are collecting today is coming from sensors. We've got sensors on lots and lots of things in the world. So, for example, if you look at a modern jet airliner will contain over 100,000 sensors. And each one of those sensors during a flight will produce at least one data point every second. And in some cases, even more than that. And when you're analyzing that data, of course, you have to be smart about how you analyze it, because if you simply just looked at the whole thing as one group and tried to look at the interactions, for example, you couldn't do it. If you looked at, say, 100,000 data points and you only looked at the interaction of three of them at a time, that's 166 trillion calculations. So you can't do it through brute force. You have to be smart about it. And so that's really what's behind what we're doing in the world of data. And there's a lot of opportunity there. There's an adage in the business, and the adage is data is the new oil. And what that means is data is where there's lots of opportunity, just like there was in the days of the oil rush and the days of wildcatting and finding oil. And those kinds of things are going on today. And it already has changed the way that we live, and it's going to continue to change that, because the rate, as you mentioned at the beginning, the rate is continuing to increase. We're collecting more data, and the things that we can do with it are continuing to increase and expand as well.
So tell me about where artificial intelligence and machine learning comes into this conversation.
Okay, so artificial intelligence is a subdivision of computer science, and its focus is using computing technology to perform tasks that appear to be intelligent. That is, there's some kind of agency involved, some kind of ability to respond to the environment that it's in and perform a task. And the environment doesn't have to just be a physical environment, although we do see that, for example, with robotics. I think we've probably all seen these vacuum cleaners that will vacuum your floor automatically. But it can also be a virtual world. So, for example, speech recognition is an application of our artificial intelligence that has become very widespread with products like Siri and Cortana and in other locations too. And that's part of the whole subset of recognition technology that we would include handwriting recognition. For example, the Postal Service is able to sort mail based on handwriting recognition and image recognition in general. And so artificial intelligence is the ability to do that. And then machine learning is a subdivision of artificial intelligence. And machine learning is more narrowly focused, primarily with the interest of prediction. So there are three things we want science to do. The first is describe the phenomena. The second is explain the phenomena. And the third is predict the phenomena. But it's really that prediction that's the gold standard, because that gives us a metric to evaluate how well it's working. And it also helps us plan ahead for things. So when we can predict stuff in the world of business or in the world of healthcare, then we can get ready for it and we can be prepared. So that's really an important application of that.
So in for an example in healthcare, give me an example, like I'm predicting what this tumor will respond to, or how does machine learning work in a healthcare, or give me a specific example to help me understand it.
Yeah, so let's suppose we're looking at a cancer tumor that we want to reduce the size of, and we want to apply some retrovirus to that. We have to be careful about the amount that's applied, and it turns out that it's not the case that you can simply increase the amount linearly and get a proportional reduction. You actually can make things worse. So you can apply a little bit and it gets better, and then if you apply kind of an intermediate range, it gets worse. But once you get to a certain threshold, then it makes a dramatic difference. And so we can model that with ordinary differential equations and know exactly where to apply that. So that would be the kind of application we would see in healthcare that would be very beneficial, that would benefit greatly from having the kinds of techniques that we use in machine learning and in analytics applied to that.
So what's deep learning then?
So deep learning is a case where you take an artificial neural net, which is part of machine learning, and you add additional hidden layers within that net so that you can adapt that to a very high degree to whatever data that you've got at hand. And we see some really interesting applications with that in the world of computing. So things like if I need to be able to understand what's going on at a deep level in oil drilling, I can take the data that I get from that and I can tailor that deep learning algorithm to that data. And I can, as a consequence of that, know exactly how deep to drill and how much force I can put on that drill. Because, of course, I don't want to break that bit. I've got a very expensive problem if I do. And so the results can be very good as a consequence of that. Of course, there's a danger to that too, which is that you might overfit the data and it might not actually be applicable to unseen data. So if you have one of these techniques, it's really important that you can generalize it. If you can only look at things in the past, it's not going to be useful for new data that comes in the future.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, who's coming to the symposium, and I want to get into this idea of students heading to universities and jobs and this sort of field as a general thing to explore. So talk a little bit about the symposium and who it's for, and then let's maybe explore that idea of future careers and where folks are going who are interested in this.
Yeah, so when we started working on this, and this really originated with Casey Santosh, a computer science professor, and he's the one who recruited the rest of us to participate, and I'm very glad he did. And we've got four speakers. We've got Steve Lewis, who's the Vice President of Innovation for POET. He'll be first at 9:30. And then we've got Olaf Strelowski, and he is the he has been a research scientist for Oak Ridge National Labs and for NASA, and has done a lot of interesting things with supercomputing. And then at 12:30, we'll have Murat Sinkan, and he's working on precision medicine. Precision medicine is when you take clinical data and you couple that with genetic data so that things like drug dose and the kinds of rehabilitation techniques that you engage in are tailored to an individual and not just a group. And so you can get better results that way. So he's doing some really interesting work with Sanford Imagenetics. And then last up to bat cleanup is going to be Justin Smith. And he is using machine learning to better understand what the business drivers of Sanford Health are. So they're looking at ways to be more efficient and more effective in how they use their technology and diffuse information.
Hmm. All right. So the audience, who do you anticipate coming and benefiting from the symposium?
So our original goal was to have a forum where our students at USD, primarily, but other students are certainly welcome too,
right,
where they could see what is going on in the world of data, where they would gain an understanding of that, so they would know what's happening now. And then the second goal was to give them a sense for what they might experience as professionals, because all of them are going to go in to the data economy, and they need to be data literate, but they tend not to know that. Now, we assume that because they're using digital technology, that they are digitally literate, but it tends to be the case that they have a narrow focus. They're very good with their smartphone and social media, but beyond that, they don't really know the world that they're going into. So we wanted to give them a chance to get a glimpse of that in this symposium. And then finally, we want to make sure that they know about the programs that we've got at the University of South Dakota right now that are oriented to this world of data. Mm. So certainly math and computer science have always been that way. We've added in the Beacom School of Business operational analytics at the undergraduate level, a Master of Science in Business Analytics at the graduate level, and then our MBA program has a business analytics specialization for managers that need data literacy in their work. So that was our goals.
And I sort of alluded to this earlier, but let's bring it back to this. How do you incorporate some of, are there cross classes in ethics and, you know, some of these, you know, humanities-based ways of thinking about data and how it's used and how it's applied?
Yes, so we specifically teach ethics in our analytics coursework because of the power of the technology. We want to make sure that our graduates aren't abusing individuals with this, because it is a powerful technology. And I can't, when I was in computer science, we certainly had ethics courses. I assume they still do and require that. And the same thing would be true in mathematics, because it is such a powerful tool.
Right. As it becomes more and more powerful, then those are really increasingly important conversations to have.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
you mentioned data being the new oil, and it also brings to mind the sense of expectation that we all expect to be able to go to the gas station, fill up our car, and take a trip across the state when we feel like it. And when you talk about precision medicine and other applications of data harnessing and how things are, you know, analyzed and used, it occurs to me that we will increasingly have much higher expectations about what we think is possible and what we think our loved ones deserve, especially in a medical, application.
Yes, we want the best possible medical care for everyone, but certainly it really hits home when it's someone we love that's could be a beneficiary of that. And so if you talk to Dr. Benson Hsu, who is also a professor in the Sanford School of Medicine in Sioux Falls, the USD School of Medicine, he will tell you that his objective as the Vice President of Data and Analytics is to change the way we deliver healthcare in a positive way that allows people to do more with less. And so he's really focused on effectiveness. And you're right, we're going to be able to do more. We're going to have not only more data, but more precise data. There's great strides being made in the world of genetics, but also in terms of clinical things. So sometimes we don't think of the simple changes that can have a big impact, but just getting people, for example, to come to their follow-up appointments turns out to be a challenging problem. But if we got everyone to come, they would benefit dramatically from that. So behavioral things will enter into that, and it will all be brought together in ways that allow us to be more effective at delivering high-quality healthcare. And so we're really fortunate to have Sanford and Avera here in South Dakota really pushing the state of the art in those areas.
Yeah. Go back to when you were Dr. Tehart, just starting out in undergraduate. Like, what, you know, it's, so much has changed. What was the first thing that you wanted to study in college, and how different is your life now than really what you thought you'd be studying?
Yeah, I look back on that and I think, how could I possibly have thought myself as an 18-year-old could have figured out anything useful about right. what I should study? So I asked my brother, hey, what do you think I should take? And he said, you know, accountants do really well. Why don't you try accounting? See if you like that. And I said, okay. And so I got my undergraduate actually in accounting. And but then I went on, I was fascinated by computing. I ended up doing a master's here in computer science, and then naturally, when you start working in analytics, it's it makes it appealing to do a PhD and and something related to that. So then I did the PhD in computational science and statistics. So kind of a unusual path, but when I look back at it, I think, oh, it makes perfect sense to me.
It makes perfect sense now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is the 2018 Symposium on Data Harnessing at the University of South Dakota. It's Thursday, November 8th from 9 to 3 in the Munster University Ballroom. Dr. Thomas Dehart has been our guest. He is the symposium co-chair and the Poet Professor of Business Analytics at USD's Beacom School of Business. Come back and talk with us anytime about some of those very interesting problems that are being solved. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Lori.